everyone. Thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight. I'm Brandis Friedman. Here's what we're looking at. Record-breaking heat hits the Chicago region. A look at when we may get some relief. A longtime landmark starts coming down to make way for Chicago's permanent casino. Our Spotlight Politics team on that and more. And Chicago public school students are back in the classroom. The head of the teachers union on the new school year. And now to some of today's top stories. A familiar sight on the Chicago River will soon be a memory as the future Bally's Riverfront Casino gets closer to construction. During a demolition event today, the chairman of Bally's says the former Chicago Tribune Freedom Center will be the perfect location for the entertainment resort.
Now, this is a wonderful location. These 30 acres are a wonderful location for a casino because this is actually designed for logistics, actually. If you think about it, 750,000 papers were being pumped out of here and spread out all across Chicago twice a day in little trucks, big trucks. And so it's really meant for all of that logistics.
There will be no explosives or wrecking balls used to demolish the building. Instead, an excavator got the job started today. Officials also held a ceremonial excavation with golden hammers and bricks. Bally's officials say they're already hosting 100,000 tourists a month at its temporary location at Medina Temple. The future resort promises a 500-room hotel tower, a 3,000-seat theater, 6 restaurants, a 2-acre public park, and, of course, gambling with 3,300 slots, 173 table games, and VIP gaming. The permanent casino is expected to be operational in fall 2026. I hope you were able to stay inside today as an excessive heat warning is still in effect until 10 tonight. The National Weather Service reported temps reached 98 degrees at O'Hare, breaking the record for the day back in 1973, and with a heat index at 114 degrees. And an air quality alert is in place through midnight due to elevated ozone levels being unhealthy for sensitive groups. To help community members keep cool, neighbors at St. Sabina passed out more than 4,400 bottles of cold water and reminded folks to stay hydrated. They're also reminding them to check on their elders. A bit of relief is on the horizon, though, the highs in the mid to upper 80s for the rest of the week.
Y'all say it's the hottest day of the summer. And a lot of people, for some people in this neighborhood, paying for $1 or $2 for water is more than they have. So if we can give them free water and bless them and let them know somebody cares about them and tell them to stay hydrated, that's what I'm about. We just look for opportunities to bless them.
And Portillo's picked the hottest day of the year so far to announce it's adding a taste of fall to its menu. The restaurant chain says it's launching a new cake flavor for the first time in 20 years. Salted caramel spice is available on menus now and will only be around for a limited time. And yes, because I know you were wondering, the cake can be made into a shake. Sounds delicious. Up next, a look at how the first week of school is going with the president of the Chicago Teachers Union right after this.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Jim and Kay Mabee family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
First day of classes is in the books for Chicago Public Schools, though getting there has been short of an easy A. Chicago Teachers Union is still in the midst of public contract negotiations, and they say CPS leaders aren't doing enough about the lack of academic resources. This comes amid concern over district funding. Joining us now is Stacey Davis Gates, president of the Chicago Teachers Union. Stacey, welcome back. Good to see you.
You as well. Thank you.
Of course. So how are teachers feeling about the start of the school year?
The first day of school is always the most exciting day of the school year. It only rivals the last day, of course, but it is the opportunity to express hope and joy and the opportunity of this school year. And so yesterday I was at Poe Classical School, and they had a Soul Train line that took the kids inside with cheerleaders. I met grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and parents there. It was joyful.
Leave it to a classical school to go with a classic like a Soul Train line. So just yesterday, CEO Pedro Martinez told us that the district is seeing some of the lowest rates among bilingual and special needs educators. Is your membership reflecting this?
Look, what Pedro fails to talk about is how below the standard the district was to begin with. So as he touts the progress in staffing, what he forgets to talk about is how the 2019 collective bargaining agreement provided the actual staffing that he parades around and says we've achieved. Yes, we've together in partnership, we've achieved. So why would you lay those people off? Only half of the teacher assistants that were laid off back in June are back in a job. So you need people doing the work in order to engage with the young people to get the results that help the district move forward.
You wrote in a Chicago Tribune op-ed yesterday that there are many similarities between you and Pedro Martinez, your background, your experience. Yeah. Being that, you know, he has thus far been allowed to remain on the job by Mayor Brandon Johnson, who is also a former CTU member, one would think that there would be more accord between the three of you. But what kind of leadership would you like to see at CPS that you feel like you're not seeing?
That's a great question, actually. Very rarely do people ask that question. What type of leadership? Well, the leadership has to be visionary and transformative. We're working with a school district that has, you know, performed at a level of good enough for generations. Black children suffered in Willis Wagons. Then they had 50 schools closed on them. Right now, our bilingual supports in the city don't match the need. We have 20,000 unhoused children in this city. Families, right? So it presents an opportunity to move it forward with visionary and transformative leadership. Pedro is actually missing his opportunity to be legendary. We have a mayor of Chicago who is a middle school teacher who talks about his family's migration to Chicago from Mississippi. Pedro talks about his family's journey from Mexico to Chicago. So you have these two men who have an opportunity to actually give Chicago students what they deserve. See, what the Chicago Teachers Union did this time is that we figured out how to already meet leadership halfway. We took the mayor's transition report. Our proposals reflect the values and the ideas embodied in that. And number two, Pedro said that he wanted to be a partner in offering the next generation of immigrant families that come here for the promise of America an opportunity. So what we need is that level of partnership from the CEO to actually be legendary.
It's only occurred to me just now talking to you, Stacey, because you and I have talked a lot.
Yeah.
Considering your alignment with Mayor Brandon Johnson,
yes.
Why is this job not something that you would consider? I know you love CTU, but I know you love the students too.
Wow. look, the job's not open. CEO Martinez is in the job that he is currently lobbying for. He's wasting time doing the PR thing. Last night on this show, he said he wants everything we want. He says he wants a better school day. He wants art, music, physical education, world language. So join us at the table and say yes to those things. You can't provide lip service to a generational opportunity to actually give Chicago students what they deserve.
So we know that, of course, the district and CTU are still in the process of bargaining, right? This is a public process this time for the first
time.
I think what a lot of parents want to know, though, is will there be another strike? And I know that we are far, far away from that at this point. But what do you say to parents that, you know, that still carry that fear because they know that there can be a strike if it comes to it?
Listen, I'm so disappointed that we're not celebrating the contract right now as a part of the first week of school. I had every hope that we would be in a place right now to either say we're at the finish line or we're nearing the finish line.
Because typically we are further down the road
this
time of
year. Well, we're further down the road and fighting, right? Like you said, for the first time ever, we've had open bargaining where we've talked about what it would look like to have a sustainable green-based school district. We've had open bargaining about what it would look like for our district to sue J.P. Morgan Chase and get back some proceeds from payday loans, effectively, that they did with the district during the Emanuel years. I'm saying that with Mayor Brandon Johnson, we've had an opportunity to show our work to the city of Chicago, to the families that depend on the Chicago Public Schools. We're in it to transform it. Right now, you have 80% of our schools that don't have libraries or librarians. You have our most vulnerable students, 30% of them that are not getting transportation to school right now. We can't keep tolerating good enough. Pedro has an opportunity. You got a mayor who's saying, yes, let's envision this. You have a union who's ready to do whatever to make it work. What's the holdup?
So you call on him to come up with with creative funding solutions, and you mentioned, the lawsuit against J.P. Morgan Chase, for example. What are other creative funding solutions that you think aren't being used?
I don't know why they have to be creative. Right. All across this country, school districts are funded. You take high school social studies teacher, Governor Tim Walz, who is the nominee for the Democrats right now for vice president. He figured out how to give more money as governor of Minnesota to his schools. Same thing in California with Governor Newsom. Same thing in Michigan with Governor Whitmer. They understood that the federal funds that they received from the pandemic were expiring, and they had to figure out how to maintain the progress that those young people made in those states as well. So our General Assembly and our governor will have to step up, because this is not a cliff that is particular to Chicago. In fact, school districts all across the state and country, for that matter, are facing the ESSER cliff. It is the courage of governors in other states to work with their partners at the union and other stakeholders to figure it out.
As we mentioned, CEO Pedro Martinez joined us yesterday. He said that although there is an agreement that there needs to be more resources put towards schools, he shared that there are still improvements being made.
Now, when you look at our neighborhood schools, the amount of resources that they have, I mean, and again, please don't take my word for it. I will invite you to come to our schools. Come visit our classrooms. Now, the buildings will be old. There's a lot of needs on the facility side. But when you look at the rich programming, the electives that we have now, the fact that our high schools now offer college credit. I had 6,000 seniors last year that were in college classes while they were in high school. And these are the small high schools. These are not Whitney Young. By the way, Whitney Young doesn't need to, because they have an amazing set of programming already. These are our smaller high schools.
So, of course, the CEO there is pointing towards some of the successes, right? What students are getting within CPS schools. Is that enough?
No, it's the variability that's killing our school district. It's that we can celebrate a sustainable community school-led diet. We can celebrate a neighborhood school like Amison. What is the baseline of support that every school in the district, what can families expect when they walk in? Can they expect a PE teacher? Can they expect a fine arts program? Can they expect sports for every season? The answer to that question is, it's the flip of the coin. It's the leadership of the principal. It's the will of the LSC. It's everything but the standard that we have to start putting in. That's what our collective bargaining proposals represent. So when people lampoon the, quote, cost of them, it is the cost of doing school in Chicago. Right now, we're only doing the cost of we're only doing the cost of school in Chicago at good enough. And good enough is no longer acceptable.
All right, 10 seconds left. Stacey Davis-Gates preparing for the first elected school board in the district's history coming up in a couple of months. How is CTU supporting candidates?
Look, right now I see a lot of people on doors. Like, this is one of the localest elections that we are blessed to have. In a time period where red states are marginalizing the rights, voting rights of people, black people, brown people who need the Chicago public schools to work for them now have an opportunity and some agency to make those selections. That's right. A great thing.
I'm sure we'll talk more about it as we get closer to November 5th as well. Stacey Davis Gates, Chicago Teachers Union president, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Up next, work begins on a permanent Chicago casino. Our Spotlight Politics team on that and much more right after this. Demolition began today on the Chicago Tribune's former printing plant to make way for the city's first permanent casino. And in state election news, the Illinois Supreme Court sided with Republicans, tossing out a law hastily passed by Democrats that could have impacted the November ballot. And in federal court, attorneys for Michael Madigan ask a judge to throw out certain evidence against the former House Speaker. Here with all that and more is our Spotlight Politics team, Amanda Vinicky, Heather Sharone, and Nick Blumberg. Welcome back, gang. I think we've all recovered from last week? No?
Working on it.
All right. We'll get there. We'll break in when we tell the people. So local landmark began coming down today, as we mentioned, politicians, community representatives, casino executives, all on hand to do the honors. They were helping to demolish what was once the Chicago Tribune printing facility, RIP Chicago Tribune printing facility. In its place is going to be the city's first casino. A representative from the city's tourism agency said, quote, "This isn't a demolition day. It's a celebration day." Heather, this is finally happening nearly 2 years after the city council approved it. Why did it take so long?
Well, there were big problems with the initial plan approved by the city council all the way back in 2022. Originally, the 35-story hotel was supposed to go in a location on the site that would have destroyed critical water infrastructure, so it had to be moved. Bally's also had trouble sort of figuring out the finances for this. This is not a small undertaking. And the city is now hopeful that now a permanent casino is going to happen and that it will generate somewhere in the neighborhood of $200 million, which is earmarked by state law to fund Chicago's woefully underfunded police and fire pensions, which hopefully will give the city a bit of breathing room budget-wise.
Yeah, and there had been some concern even the last couple of years if this permanent casino was going to come together. 27th Ward Alderman Walter Burnett reminded attendees that he grew up three blocks away in what was then the Cabrini Green housing project.
This is my neighborhood. These are my people in this neighborhood. So it's only incumbent upon me to make sure that people from my neighborhood do well. And when people from my neighborhood benefit on a prosperity that everybody else is going to benefit from. Whether it's union workers, whether it's inside workers, whatever the case may be, this is personal for me.
Heather, Alderman Burnett said that he still has some concerns about the casino. What are they?
Well, Bally's made a lot of promises to city officials that they would hire Chicagoans to do this work. And Walter Burnett is not the kind of alderperson who will let companies sort of renege on that sort of promise. And this is not only supposed to help the city's budget, it's supposed to help the city's economy, right? Like maybe a mini Democratic convention every long weekend. The city would not object to that, I am sure. But it's important for the city that Chicagoans work these construction jobs and work these casino and hotel jobs. Whether that will happen is very much up in the air. And today we heard a warning from Alderman Burnett, who said it better happen. unless you want to run into some more problems at City Hall.
You're going to have a problem with me is probably what he's thinking. Amanda, Nick, in 2023, the temporary casino in the Medina Temple near Michigan Avenue brought in only a quarter of what was projected. Those revenue shortfalls had some speculating, or some folks were speculating, that Bally's might not actually make it to the permanent casino, but we're getting there today. Do you feel like this demolition signals that the Riverfront Casino is definitely a go?
I mean, certainly Bally's is projecting a lot of confidence, but none of us has a crystal ball here. It is obviously cheaper to knock down a building than to build one, and I think anybody who saw the giant hole in the ground from what was supposed to be the Chicago Spire that sat empty for years and years and years knows these plans don't always come to fruition. But as for what we heard today, a lot of confidence from company officials. We'll see what happens.
Maybe there's somebody that's like got a online betting going on.
Yeah, right. It's
will it be right?
I don't know what you're talking about. We're going to look that up later on. We're going to put our top people on that. Okay, so despite the record-breaking heat, school went on as scheduled, starting yesterday with Chicago Public Schools. And here, CPS CEO Pedro Martinez was on Chicago Tonight with you, Amanda, assuring us that all students will have air conditioning. So let's walk through some of the other takeaways from that interview. First off, although they welcomed public school students together yesterday, Pedro Martinez says that he has not met privately with Mayor Brandon Johnson in weeks, that there's not necessarily something that is on the schedule, though he says they have been in touch. Amanda, was that surprising given, you know, the headlines that he might be replaced?
It is certainly surprising, I think. First of all, he said they meet regularly, but only every few couple weeks, which, considering the importance of CPS and that Mayor Johnson is a former teacher and CTU member, I guess that's not all that often, frankly. I don't know if it is surprising, per se, after stories came out that Johnson wants Martinez out, because if you're Martinez, maybe you kind of just try and stay away from having that conversation, keep your job as long as possible, and work it. Go on programs like ours and try and make the case publicly to the mayor about why you should maintain your position. And likewise, if Johnson doesn't have that ability, because he can't just unilaterally let Martinez go at this point, it has to be with the school board, who voted with Martinez, really, when it comes to the budget, over the preferred path that Johnson had wanted to take. You don't maybe want to have that conversation when your ducks aren't in a row. We don't know what is going on there, but Martinez was not able to give us a date for when they're going to have a formal discussion. I will say, it did look awkward on the video yesterday. There are kids, there are parents around. This is not a time for any sort of deep talk, but they rarely got close together. They just sort of moved in the same circles with Martinez following them here.
And to be clear, that preferred pathway that Johnson wanted was to borrow another substantial amount of money. Pedro Martinez saying, I don't think that that's actually the way to go, considering
not
that we're already already facing $500 and something million in debt, the funding cliff that we're always talking about. Nick, one of the biggest challenges the district is facing, though, finding enough bus drivers. How's CPS doing with that?
Yeah, Pedro Martinez says that's been the biggest challenge of his nearly three-year tenure. But he said they're up about 200 drivers from what they had last year, so certainly more options for students and families in need. But there is a lot of need out there. Last week, the numbers we got were about 15,000 students, about 10,000 of whom are students with disabilities. And, you know, that nearly 2,000 of them were left without an option, although CEO Martinez said he thought they were getting that number down closer to about 1,100 and that they wanted to have this taken care of within the first 2 weeks. They're also looking at some point during this first semester to create a hub model. These are for, you know, gen ed students who are going to a selective enrollment school far away from where they live, the idea being that they might go to a school that's closer to their home and be able to get picked up there. They're looking at all sorts of options, you know, shuffling around start times and closing times for schools to try and make this work. But it is still a huge issue for the district.
So before we run out of time, Illinois Supreme Court siding with the Republicans over this controversial law that Democrats passed that would ban the slating of candidates. Amanda, remind us what this bill was about.
So
how's it going to impact November?
Yeah, so this is a practice that isn't used all that often, but allows basically party insiders to have somebody run in a general election, even if nobody from the party ran in the primary. And Democrats passed this law to take place during the 2024 election cycle, for the 2024 election cycle. So that's where the pushback came from Republicans, who said, hey, you can't change the rules of the game midway through. We had agreement from a lower court previously, now the Illinois Supreme Court allowing that to slide, also the State Board of Elections. So what it really means is that you're going to have a handful of Republicans, and really in one particular race that people sort of call this law by the name of the Democratic lawmaker because they believe that the incumbent is going to have perhaps a hard time with a Republican competitor, that they're all going to be on the ballot. Not less we've seen of it, by the way. They'll run this election, but the law's still on the books for the future.
Okay. Good to know. We didn't get to talk about Mike Madigan, but I'm sure there'll be something to talk about next week. That is Spotlight, everybody. Amanda Vinicky, Heather Sherrod, Nick Blumberg. Thank you. And that's our show for this Tuesday night. You can stream Chicago Tonight Monday through Friday on Facebook, YouTube, and our website. And be sure to subscribe to our newsletter, The Daily Chicagoan, at WTTW.com/newsletter. And join us tomorrow night at 5:30 and 10. Black male voters could be crucial in deciding the presidential race in November. What Harris and Trump need to do to win their vote. And the latest installment in our WTTW News Explains series explores the history and the impact of redlining. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that is proud to recognize its founder and senior partner, Robert Clifford, who ranked number one in the state of Illinois by Super Lawyers Top 10 2024 Illinois Super Lawyers List.